Amen. How many of us are glad to be here this morning? Once again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. We want to make sure all the fathers are appreciated and celebrated. Amen. Yes, he said amen, didn't he? Amen. I got an amen corner today. Amen. For those of you who've been following with me the past few weeks, I've been in a preaching series on spiritual warfare. And today we're in Ephesians chapter 6. I want to lift verses 10 through 13, but read the entirety of this chapter when you get back from taking Papa out to dinner. Amen. Now don't make Pop grill on his day. Amen. We took Mama to Ruth Chris. And we gonna give Daddy some flip-flops so he can be comfortable at the grill. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. I want to preach as the Holy Spirit shall give me help, as you shall pray for and with me, from the topic, let's get ready to rumble. Let's get ready to rumble. Lord, bless your word. Bless me to be a blessing to your people. Let your word fall on fresh and fertile ground. Your words, my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get ready to rumble. A few years ago, Michael Buffer coined the catchphrase, let's get ready to rumble. Across the past almost 40 some odd years since he coined that particular catchphrase that we hear in the context of boxing, UFC, and mixed martial arts contests, that trademark has generated Michael Buffer more than almost $500 million because he had the foresight to create a trademark for a catchphrase that says, let's get ready to rumble. While the catchphrase was born in the context of boxing, mixed martial arts, and UFC events, this popular catchphrase is relevant and significant to the Christian life. As Christians, we are friends of God, worshipers of God, saints of God, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are also soldiers and warriors engaged in battle. As Christians, we are not just praisers in the house of God, nor are we just pilgrims towards a city set called heaven, but we are also soldiers and warriors on the battlefield for our Lord. As soldiers and warriors on the battlefield for our Lord, we are engaged in an ongoing spiritual battle against the devil himself. We don't just play on Sunday. nor are we just engaged in a Sunday afternoon drive in the countryside. But for those of us who are seeking to make disciples, transform lives, fulfill our calling as men and women of God, we have to admit that we are also engaged in spiritual warfare and a ongoing daily battle against the evil one himself. How many of us under the sound of my voice recognize you are engaged in battle? For every step you want to take forward, the devil wants to set you back. For every inch of the kingdom you accomplish, the devil wants to snatch your progress. For every soul that's saved for God, the devil wants to snatch two souls for his kingdom. For every testimony, the devil wants somebody to test a lie. For every person who is growing and maturing in their walk with God, the devil wants to create a setback, a stymie, a hindrance to your progress and your growth with Almighty God. We are engaged in spiritual conflict with the evil one himself. As Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesians, Paul encourages the Ephesian believers and Ephesian church to be ready to rumble and do battle against the enemy himself. Paul exhorts the Ephesian believers to be ready to rumble. As Paul exhorts the Ephesian believers to be ready to rumble, Paul reminds them that God has gifted them with every weapon, piece of armor they need, not just to do battle, but to conquer, win, and be victorious. We are not just fighting to be fighting. We are just not slap boxing. We just not play fighting. We just not wrestling and tussling, but we are engaged in spiritual battle for our sanity, our health, our wellness, our families, our marriages, our children, the growth and development of the body of Christ called church. There's something at stake in warfare. If you don't learn how to fight and if you're not ready to rumble, your marriage is in jeopardy. Your children are in jeopardy. The growth of the church is in jeopardy. Your mental sanity is in jeopardy. Your physical wellness is in jeopardy. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. The kingdom is in jeopardy. Can I preach this? Let me see if I can make it plain. I don't know anybody with good sense who just leaves their door open anymore. I don't care where you live. Y'all ain't talking to me. Ain't nobody that naive where you just go about your day, go to work, go on vacation, leave your front door open, and allow anybody and anything to have access to what is precious and valuable to you and yours. You can think you live in Mayberry all you want, but Mayberry is on TV. If you leave what is precious and valuable, accessible and open, you will come back 2 hours later, 4 hours later, maybe even a half hour later with everything valuable and precious probably taken out of your house and taken by somebody who means you no good. Let me make this spiritual because somebody thinks I'm just talking about your stuff. If you give the devil a toehold in your life, your mental sanity, your children, your future, your sanctification, your joy, your peace, your 6 hours of sleep are all threatened because we have given the enemy access to what is precious and valuable. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus concerning the spiritual weaponry and armor that God has gifted the Ephesians with for the purpose of them being victorious, conquering, and winning the spiritual battle. God has gifted them everything they need to fight, but also to win. Despite everything they have to conquer, fight, win and experience victory, the Ephesian believers, like so many of us, are guilty of the sin of fighting a spiritual battle with carnal means or in their own power. You and I will never win spiritual battles in our own power. If you try to fight the devil in your own power, you are guaranteed to lose. If you try to fight a spiritual battle rolling your neck, sucking your teeth, you are guaranteed to lose. If you try to fight a spiritual battle, putting your hands on your hips, getting Vaseline, taking off your earrings, inviting somebody outside, you are guaranteed to lose. If you fight a spiritual battle, talking about your daddy was a preacher and your mama was a missionary, you are guaranteed to lose. If you fight a spiritual battle, cussing, fussing, and fighting, you are guaranteed to lose. If you fight a spiritual battle, acting like you are not in a battle, you are guaranteed to lose. And so many of us are fighting battles, losing battles. We have the power to win because we are trying to fight spiritual battles in our own power. If you fight a spiritual battle with non-spiritual means, you will lose that battle every day. But God has sent me with the word to empower everybody to get ready to rumble. How many of us are ready not to lose anymore, but to win? Can I preach this? Preacher, how do you get ready to rumble? First of all, we get ready to rumble by refusing to underestimate our enemy. So many of us lose spiritual battles because we underestimate our enemy. The devil is our enemy. The devil does have some power. If you mess around and give the devil a toehold or access in your life, the devil will convince you and I that he ain't nobody to play with. And many of us are losing spiritual battles for our joy, our sanity, our marriages, our peace, our livelihood, our wherewithal, our esteem, because we underestimate the enemy. The devil just doesn't show up one day out of the year in October wearing red. And many of us confine our battle with the enemy to one day out of the year with a foe that's wearing red. We don't know how he's going to show up. Come on, somebody. Scripture says he masquerades himself as an angel of light. You may think that joker shows up wearing red, but that joker gonna show up looking like the thing you like and can't resist. Come on now, I wish I could preach this to the 40 and over crowd. He gonna show up looking like that thing that you don't wanna say no to. Come on, talk to me, somebody. He's gonna show up looking, smelling, not like something you don't like. Come on, talk to me. But looking just like the thing you like the most. And sometimes we lose that battle because we have segregated what he looks like instead of realizing that he's going to masquerade himself in something that's appealing, attractive, and is going to be dangled in our face. Not just one Sunday in October, but sometimes Friday night when you're feeling lonely. Saturday afternoon. Sunday when you want to fall asleep in church. Y'all ain't talking to me. In every other event, you can't play with the enemy. If you play with him, he'll mess your mind up. If you play with him, he'll harden your heart and make you bitter. If you play with him, he'll confuse you between what's right and what's wrong. If you play with him, he'll make you think the grass is greener on the other side without paying a bigger water bill. If you play with him, he'll make you think that up is down, left is right, right is left, good is bad, bad is good. If you play with him, he'll turn your life around. Sometimes we have lost battles to the evil one because we have underestimated his significance and his power. A few days ago, News and Observer wrote an article about the danger of small infestations during this summer season. During this summer season, they told you what to wear when you go outside because ticks, small, come on, talk to me, can be deadly. Sometimes we'll underestimate something because it's small. A tick ain't a lion, it ain't a bear, it ain't a gorilla, it ain't a hyena, it ain't a rhino, but it's small. But a tick, y'all ain't talking to me, bites you, infects you, can lead you to the ICU unit because small things, y'all ain't talking to me, underestimated, can make a major difference in our lives. Don't underestimate the evil one. Don't underestimate his lies. Don't underestimate his schemes. Don't underestimate his wiles. Don't underestimate the power of the enemy. I'm ready to rumble because I refuse to underestimate the enemy. I'm ready to rumble because I use every weapon at my disposal. Paul reminds the church at Ephesus concerning the armor, equipment, and weaponry that is at their disposal. Paul uses the image and illustration of a Roman warrior to remind the Ephesian believers concerning everything they have at their disposal for the purpose of fighting, conquering, doing battle, and being victorious in spiritual warfare. For your mind, you have the helmet of salvation. For your heart, you have the breastplate of righteousness. For your precious parts, you have your loins girt about with truth. For the weapons that the enemy will fight you defensively, you have the shield of faith. For your feet, you have the sandals of peace. For your back, you have goodness and mercy that follows you every day that God allows you to see. For other weapons, you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And for anything else, you can pray at all times, knowing that we serve a God who's a 24/7, 365 God, who sits high and looks low. Come on, talk to me. Help me preach this thing. God has given us everything we need to fight and do battle. But unless we use everything, we are vulnerable. You can't just fight with a helmet. You can't just fight with a sword. And sometimes we have gone to fight the battle, but we have been ill-equipped. Consequently, when you're ill-equipped to fight, there are some pieces and places in our lives where we are vulnerable. If you go fight the enemy with your breastplate but don't have a helmet, your mind is vulnerable. If you got the helmet of salvation but don't have the sword of the Spirit, your sides are vulnerable. Come on, talk to me. If you have your breastplate but don't have your sandals, your feet are vulnerable. If you have your sandals but don't have your loins, your abdomen and precious parts are vulnerable. Unless you fight with everything at your disposal, come on, talk to me. We are vulnerable against the evil one because he knows where we are strong, but also knows where we are weak. Some of you are golfers, and I'm a jackleg golfer. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Amen. But I do know enough to know if you're going to do anything on the greens, you can't just go out there with a driver and a wedge. Come on, talk to me. I know some of the language. Y'all better work with me now. You need some irons. You need the wedges. You need a driver. Come on, talk to me. You need a whole bag at your disposal, because there's going to come a time and place on 9 holes or 18 where you're going to need something. And if you just take your driver and a sandwich, talk to me, somebody, you're going to be ill-equipped to win and do battle. Come, can I preach this? You got to have everything. We're in that lull time in the summer between basketball, the end of basketball, and we praying for the NFL. But football season, we praying every day. Amen. Amen. We really praying. Amen. Football is about to start. And for those of us who play and watch football or have dreams of what we used to could do. Amen. You remember, you just didn't play unless you were playing flag football with just shoulder pads. If you play tackle football with just shoulder pads, you're going to end up in an ICU unit. Because in the game of football, you need a helmet. You need shoulder pads. Come on, talk to me. You need cleats. You need support in every key area, because if you try to play football without the proper equipment, you are vulnerable to losing. Come here, somebody. If you try to fight the enemy without the proper equipment, we are vulnerable to losing the battle. I'm ready to rumble because we use everything at our disposal. We're ready to rumble because we refuse to underestimate the enemy. But we're ready to rumble when we stay close to the source of our strength. Come on, talk to me. I'm going to my seat right now, but my soul is happy. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are strong not in and of ourselves, church, but we are strong in the power of the Lord. God is the source of our strength. We are not strong because we have a degree, but we are strong because we are close to the Lord God. We are not strong because of where we live, but we are strong because we're close to God. We are not strong because of our affiliation, but we are strong because we are close to God. We are not strong because of our pedigree, but we are strong when we stay close to God. We are not strong because who our mama or who our daddy was, but we are strong when we stay close to God. We are not strong because of where we went to school, but we are strong because we stay close to God. God is the source of our strength. I wish I had somebody who knew that God was the source of your strength. Yes, you look good, you're fine, but God is the source of your strength. You got a good job, you got money in the bank, but God is the source of your strength. Let me see if I can make it plain. I'm going to my seat, but I got a good friend who just got the latest iPhone Apple technology. And my friend was bragging about all this phone could do. And he went home from the Apple store, and the man told him the phone could do this, and the phone could do that. The phone could access this in his life and access that in his life. But my friend gets home, and to his sudden disappointment, the phone doesn't do anything. Y'all ain't talking to me. He got attitude now, because he done spent a grip on this phone. He tried to act bougetto. Y'all ain't talking to me. Goes back to the store. Amen. He don't want to get ratchet. Y'all ain't talking to me. and says, man, you sold me this piece of technology, but it's not doing anything you said it would do. The salesman starts to smile and laugh. He said, man, I don't see nothing funny. Ain't no toys or clowns up in here. You need to show me what's going on with this technology I spent this money on. The salesman just looks and laughs again and says, sir, it will do everything you want it to do, but you got to make sure to plug it in and charge it up. Because unless you plug it in and charge it up, it will have no power. Come here, somebody. You got to make sure you're plugged in. Make sure you're charged up. And make sure you're connected to the source of your power. Does anybody know your power comes from God? I can do all things. I said I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. God gives you strength. God lets you run. God lets you stand. God lets you conquer. God lets you win. God lets you fly. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Anybody know he is your strength? He's your provider. He's your protector. He's your keeper. He's your way maker. Yes, he is. Stand to your feet. Yes, he is. I said, yes, he is. My brother, my sister, there's somebody right now who's trying to live in your own power, trying to fight, conquer, prosper, overcome in your own power. We can't live or be strong in our own power. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives us strength. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the source of our strength. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is available to you and I. My brother, my sister, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord,